The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The newly constituted EU Fisheries Committee will not have a representative from Ireland for the next term. Despite having the largest EU waters outside of the Mediterranean, Ireland will not have a representative on that committee. E. O'Donnell is chief executive of the Irish Fish Producers Organisation, and he's joined me now in studio. I thought this was a joke when I saw it first, E.
It's disgraceful, Pat. I mean, we have a situation where there's 27 members on this committee. Ireland has 12% of the waters. The Dutch, for example, have 2% of the waters. They've got 4 members. We've got none. They've got a vice chair. So we're losing influence at the European level. We're not at the table. We don't have a voice.
Who else is on? Which other countries have?
The top would be Spain. They've got 5.
And Spain, a big fishing country.
Yeah, but we're also a big fishing country.
No, I'm just thinking that they're, in a sense, our opposition in some of the for some of the fish. They're our competitors.
They are, given that we only catch about 15% of the fish in our own waters. So we're up against it, against the Dutch, the Spanish.
So the Dutch
French
have 4.
They have 4.
Spanish have 5.
And the French have 4.
French have 4. Again, we are competitive with these trawlers in our own waters.
Absolutely. They're our competitors, and they have now a voice at the table. All of the legislative work in Europe goes through this committee. All of the key policy issues have to be referred to the committee. So at a policy level, at a legislation level, we've lost out.
Okay, who took their eye off the ball?
Well, it has to be said, the buck stops with the government, because we have the two government parties of 8 MEPs returned, yet we have none on the Fisheries Committee. It's a complex process, granted, but they have lost the case for us at European level.
Okay, now Hungary has a rep on board. Hungary, as far as I know, is landlocked.
Absolutely.
Doesn't have a coast.
State. Yeah. It is the first time since the inception of this committee that we've lost at the table. We have no member, no permanent rep. We have a substitute basis, but unfortunately...
What does that mean?
The subs can attend, they can receive the documentation, they can actually contribute to the meetings, but when it comes to the key issues of voting, they don't have a vote at the table.
How is this committee constituted? I mean, how did we miss out? What process did we not go through?
Well,
or is it about majority rules?
Well, essentially, it works through the political groupings at European level. Our main parties are members of 2 of the large groups. They essentially didn't press the case sufficiently with their MEPs or with the committees.
In other words, they should have persuaded their own political groupings to whip their representatives, their MEPs, into getting
absolutely
a vote for
absolutely
Ireland.
Absolutely. And we have to remember that, or we take note of the fact now that our main competitors, the Dutch, are justly celebrating the fact that they've got 4 members. They're able to shape key issues in the common fisheries policy. They're talking about the fact that they can align the committee process to their own fishing interests, and they can influence key policy areas. We have lost out, quite simply.
We had traditionally a member on this committee?
We've always had a member on the committee, always had one permanent member as minimum on this committee. This is the first time since its inception that we've lost out.
Now, has that membership of the committee ever been effective, though? Because it seemed to me again and again, whether it was the Brexit process or quota processes, that we've always been losing out.
We've been losing out, but they've been very effective at looking after the interests of the main groupings within Europe, our competitors. We have to remember that all of the key legislation and all of the key policy issues go through this committee. They're amended by the committee. They're very important to our competitors in Europe. The situation, quite frankly, now, Pat, is that if we want to have an input into the committee process on legislation, on policy, we've got to do it through our competitors at European level. It's crazy.
That is absolutely crazy.
It's a disaster.
And the fact that you have multiple members from Spain and from the Netherlands and from France, I mean, there's nothing in it for them to represent
They're not going to represent Ireland at this committee level.
Is there anything can be done at this point? I mean, it's one thing to raise the issue and point to the scandalous nature of the constitution of this committee. But is there anything that can be done at this point?
Well, we have to remember this committee is formed now for 5 years. So we've got a problem going forward for 5 years. There are key issues to be resolved in relation to a re-evaluation of the common fisheries policy, for example. A review of the trade and cooperation agreement, where Ireland gave away 40% of the total value given to the UK as part of Brexit. So we're just calling on the government, we're calling on the minister to do whatever it takes to have our voice heard at the table.
And what does that actually mean in terms of the government doing anything? I mean, if this committee has been constituted through votes of the MEPs themselves, is there anything that can be done to disrupt its constitution at the moment?
Well, effectively, as I understand it, there's very little, unless at a political level, Ireland puts the pressure on to have one of the other member states have one of their committee's members stand down and have that replaced with Ireland.
Do people get money to be on these committees? Do they get extra money?
Yeah, I understand they have extra money, but...
No, I'm just saying what one of them is going to stand down if it means being hit in the pocket.
Exactly. And, you know, it's so important to us that we have to do something. Otherwise, we've got a massive democratic deficit at the centre of Europe. And we have to remember lots of things to do with fishing policy relate to science. But the key driver in all of this is politics and the political will.
What about the minister? And, you know, most of these things end up with the Council of Ministers anyway, if they're going to be passed. Any innovation or any change in...
They do. But we have to remember the key filter or the key pillar of the process is the Fisheries Committee. It's a key element in the amendment and the review and the scrutiny of legislation and policy. So if not having a voice at that table is a key problem for the industry.
So you point the finger at the two principal government parties, the Fianna Fáil Party and the Fine Gael Party, and their MEPs, who clearly did not wield the appropriate power. I mean, I presume there are other committees that are constituted in the same way.
We have been very successfully represented on the Agricultural Committee, for example, where we've got three permanent representatives on that committee. This is about votes. This is about a failure to take account of the interests of our peripheral communities. We have 16,500 people employed in this sector. It's really, really important to our communities on our coasts. Yet there's a political failure when it comes to policy at European level.
Now, we know in the original negotiations for the accession to the then EEC that fishing was the poor relation.
Absolutely.
It wasn't valued at that time. Maybe it was because we, as a nation, weren't great fish eaters. We regarded it as a penitent food.
We may not have been great fish eaters, but we have the richest marine resources in Europe.
But we didn't seem to see it at that time. Has that kind of continued, that when you get agriculture and fisheries, agriculture always wins out?
Absolutely, and there's a sense out there of betrayal. There's a sense that we haven't learned from the past. The common fisheries policy has been very flawed in its construction. It's been with us since 1983, but we haven't effectively changed it in any way to benefit our communities.
Now, the stable door is closed, but the horse has bolted. And some people will maybe point to yourselves that your lobbying was not either pointed enough or effective enough to, you know, get those MEPs on your side.
Well, we've put a lot of effort into meeting with our MEPs, meeting with the candidates, having hustings and so on. We have ongoing contact with these people.
Did you see this coming?
No. It was a shock. There's a great sense of anger and dismay in the communities, at catching sector, at processing sector, at service industry people level. I've met with people and they cannot understand. It's a combination of anger, disappointment and dismay, disbelief.
So are we stuck with this now for the foreseeable?
We are. We're stuck with it for the foreseeable, and the government really needs to get its act together to rectify this position.
And how they rectify it? By trying to strong-arm some of the countries to forfeit one of their members?
Well, they've got to represent our coastal communities. That's their responsibility. Something has to be done to rebalance the situation. We cannot have our competitors plunder our resources, fish in our waters, and leave us with a situation where we don't have a voice at the table. It's unacceptable.
A text: this is appalling. Do the rural coastal communities abandoned here get to ask who messed this up? Someone on Team Ireland did not represent these communities as they deserve to be represented.
That's very obvious to everybody at this stage.
So the question is, you know, you point at those MEPs, but also at the top of government, was there just an indifference or was there... were they ambushed by this?
Well, we can only judge the situation by the outcome. We don't have a permanent rep on the committee. It's really vital that we do. We don't have an input into key policy decisions in Europe. Mm. It's unacceptable.
The EU has taken more money in fish every year than any of the money they ever gave us over the years. That's according to one texter here. Why not just create a marine reserve around the whole country? If we can't fish our own waters, then no one else can. Do we have the right under European law to say enough is enough?
Well, we have the right to say enough is enough. We've got to work the political processes. We've got to stand and we've got to defend. We've got to learn from the past. Where we're at the moment now is totally unacceptable.
So glad you're highlighting the lack of advocacy and representation for Irish fisheries. We've sacrificed our fishing rights and fishing communities for decades, most recently with Brexit. We never fully appreciated our waters and their potential. We focused on agriculture on land. The future will place huge emphasis on fishing, aquaculture, seaweed farming, and the potential of the marine to address food and climate issues. That's from Deirdre. This is absolutely shocking, says John. No voice at the top EU fishing table. It's a huge political failure. A very bad day for Irish coastal communities. It's depressing. We'll leave it there. E. O'Donnell, Chief Executive of the Irish Fish Producers Organisation. Thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.